Hey, everybody. I'm Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. Episode 295, to be exact. Well, I got to start by talking in this show and saying that I might not sound like my normal self. I'm struggling with some things. I spent about four days last week in the hospital again. Didn't really receive such good news, I don't think. They had me set up for brain surgery to remove a growth in my brain stem. Then canceled that surgery on Thursday, sent me home from the hospital with some medication and follow-up appointments with my doctor. So I'm pretty scared. Could be cancer coming back. So I don't know what the future holds. This may or may not be the last podcast for a while. I don't know. But it is episode 295. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. So a couple weeks ago, you heard episode 294 on Working Man's Armory. And I had Glenn Tate and Joel Edwards. Hope you guys liked that. Hope you had a chance during my off week last week to catch up on some older shows, maybe. Some of you who are getting caught up. And this week I'm going to dedicate this practical show because I am a practical guy. Just a Yankee with a gun, remember. Born in New York City, raised in Wisconsin. Now I live in the great gun-friendly state of Texas, San Antonio to be exact. But it's a practical show. I'm an everyday guy, do some firearms training on the side. I got some voicemails from some everyday people. So that's what this episode 295 is going to be about. Let's get started with the first voicemail that comes from Andy regarding some interesting gun laws. Listen to this.
Hey, Bob, this is Andy. Just listened to your last episode. Congratulations on your diagnosis. It was a very fantastic episode with the Working Man's Armory. I can't remember the name of the other person, but makes me definitely want to get a 17th regular edition. But I should have done my question up front or a comment. If you could, you guys talked about gun laws and policy in Switzerland, and I've heard of, but I don't know the details. If either Glenn Tate or yourself, or maybe open up to the audience, if there's somebody who knows kind of the who, what, where, when, why, how, the details of the policy of firearm ownership in Switzerland. I've heard a lot about it, but it's all hearsay. So if we've got a subject matter expert out there, I think it'd be a great half a podcast or full podcast of really why you hear the Swiss are armed, but you never hear of a crazy Swiss dictator. And so if, like I said, if somebody could go into that, that would be fantastic. Once again, congratulations. Thanks for all you do. Bye.
Okay, well, first of all, what Andy was talking about is in the last episode, I was given the all clear sign by my doctors. There must have been something that they missed. So, by the way, anyway, this week and probably next week, for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be undergoing a lot more visits with doctors and testing and find out what this growth is all about. I hope it's not something bad. It could be, but, you know, I want you guys to understand something, that everything you do in life, it matters. God is great. He is good. Whatever happens to me is going to be a good thing. I'm convinced of that. We are sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is my belief, and that is my sincere belief. I don't mean to push it on you, and if you don't believe that way, that's okay, but I do feel obligated to mention that to you. Now, Andy, regarding Swiss gun laws, brings up a good point. You know, it was kind of a joke. Glenn Tate and Joel and I were talking about brutal Swiss dictators, and, you know, credit to Glenn Tate. He brought it up. It was his phrase. He coined it, so I'm not going to take that away from him. But here's some things I did find out about gun politics in Switzerland. They're kind of unique in most of Europe. The vast majority of men between 20 and 30 are conscripted into the militia, and they undergo military training, including weapons training. Now, think about that. The vast majority of men between 20 and 30 are conscripted into the militia, and they undergo military training, including weapons training. Doesn't that sound familiar? The personal weapons of the militia are kept at home as part of the military obligations. However, it's not allowed to keep the ammunition. Switzerland, thus, has one of the highest gun ownership rates in the world. I'll say that again. Switzerland has one of the highest gun ownership rates in the world. Now, think about that. You got one of the highest gun ownership rates in the world. In other words, the citizenry is armed. Does that not mean that it would probably stand up against a brutal Swiss dictator? Now, think about that. That's kind of how we're supposed to be set up here in the United States, aren't we? In recent times, a minority of political opposition has expressed a desire for tighter gun regulations in Switzerland. I don't think that's succeeded much. However, now, there might be some people in Switzerland that listen to this that may chime in. So that might be a future upcoming episode. It goes on to say, the research I've done, and I'll put a link in this in the show notes, the Swiss Army has long been a militia trained and structured to rapidly respond against foreign aggression. Now, I'm going to repeat that again. The Swiss Army has long been a militia trained. Now, you know, when you hear people talk about our Second Amendment, and they say that it refers to a well-regulated militia, that probably meant trained. In those days when they wrote that, it probably meant trained or equipped. And the Swiss Army has long been a militia trained and structured to rapidly respond against foreign aggression. Think about that. Think about that, to rapidly respond against foreign aggression. Now, some of you might say this is far out there, but what about domestic aggression? Think about that. What about domestic aggression? Now, we know that one of the best firearms manufacturers in the world is partially based in Switzerland, or it's a merger, Sig Sauer. I believe Sig and Sauer are German and Swiss mergers. Is that not? So each soldier is required to keep his army personal weapon, the 5.56 by 45 Sig 550 rifle, or the 9mm Sig P220. This might be a little bit old, but you think about that. Now, first of all, they make fine weapons. You got a large populace that is armed. It's noted that there's about 420,000, and I hate this word, assault rifles, in other words, fully automatic or selective fire, stored in private homes. Okay, mostly Sig SG550 models. Think about that, 420,000 fully automatic or selective fire. There are additionally about 320,000 semi-auto rifles and military pistols exempted from military service in private possession. Now think about that, Switzerland's a pretty small country. I think we got more than 320,000 rifles here, semi-automatic rifles in the United States, but look how much bigger we are than Switzerland. Think about that. Okay? Now, here's some other stats. Got to think about this now. The Swiss, it's a very small country. In 2005, over 10% of households contained handguns, compared to about 18% in the United States. In 2005, almost 29% of households in Switzerland did contain a firearm of some kind, compared to about 43% in the United States. So we're ahead in gun ownership, but they're pretty high in percentages. So think about that, where there's a large citizenry that owns arms. You don't hear about a lot of brutal dictators taking over that country. I think that was a great statement by Glenn Tate a couple weeks ago. Now, I'll real quickly cover the conditions for getting a carrying permit in the country of Switzerland, and then I'll link to this article where I found most of this information. But to carry a loaded firearm in public or outdoors in Switzerland, a person must have a, and I can't pronounce this, a Waffentragbewilligung, something like that. It's called a gun carrying permit, which in most cases is issued only to private citizens working in occupations such as security. Now, there are some conditions. So they have a little bit of conditions for actually carrying a gun in public that are different than ours. I think they're more strict than ours here in the United States. There are three conditions. They have to fulfill the conditions for buying a permit, which is what I just described. They have to state plausibly the need to carry firearms to protect oneself or other people or other real properties from specific danger. So they got to state that cause, which I hate. They have to pass an examination, both providing weapon handling skills and knowledge regarding lawful use of the weapon. Yeah, you know, most states here in the United States have that. But the first two ones bother me. So I don't think it's quite as easy to get a permit to carry in Switzerland. But as far as the gun ownership for such a small European country, so much different than most of Europe, it's pretty pretty prolific in such a small country. So think about that. Maybe that's why, as Glenn Tate says, you don't hear about the brutal Swiss dictator. Just think about that. And I want you to read this whole article, so go to the show notes for episode 295, read the whole thing, and let me know what you think. Chime in with a voicemail or an email. Okay, let's go to Andrew from formerly Australia. Now he's in Arizona, I believe.
Hi, Bob. This is Andrew. I originally used to call into your show from Australia. I am now a proud American citizen. I've moved to sunny Arizona, and so far I have two firearms. I got a Glock 22.40 caliber for my first gun, and I just recently purchased a brand-new Smith & Wesson Shield 9mm. I just wanted to let you know that as a newcomer to guns, I'm 30 years old, but I never had actually used guns, being from Australia. I wanted to let you know what it was like to do a 1,000-round trigger job for the first time. I never really heard all the information on your show. I thought it was for the trigger of the gun, right? So I learned it's not all for the trigger. First of all, my fingers and hands were a little bit achy after shooting hundreds of rounds in a row, or even just 50 from not growing up with guns. Also, it got rid of some sloppy habits. You know, you can put a couple, you can do a couple of magazines down at the range, but to do so many magazines in a row and to really be thinking about it, it's kind of like doing a golf swing, and you kind of work out some of those sloppy habits. It's true, after about 200 or 300 rounds, my new shield got really smooth. The slide locks in easier, the magazine pops out, the magazine clicks in on the first try now. I guess the springs were kind of new. Everything does feel a lot better over time. I've got a lot more confidence in the shield. When I first got it, I thought you could just point and click around and shoot everything, but that's not the case. And over time now, after about 500 or 600 rounds, I feel confident that I can put a bullet in a very small area. One of the first things I noticed was the limitations of a pistol. After hearing you talk about it for so many years, I had no idea. For example, I'm shooting rabbits here on my property. There's no way I can hit that with a Smith & Wesson Shield. It is a very hard thing to hit a small moving target. And if I pull out a rifle, I can hit them almost every time. So I didn't realize that a pistol doesn't do everything. And now I kind of understand that. I also did not realize you cannot rapid fire a pistol and have every bullet on aim. I thought you could do that, and now I realize the timing and the pace, and I'm sure that's something I learned from the 1,000-round trigger job as well. I do a little game here at work. Luckily, I can shoot at work, which is pretty amazing, and I throw a bottle or a golf ball on the ground ahead of me, and while it's moving, I try to hit it with one bullet. Try not to shoot 10 bullets at it. I try to get it every single time, and as the ball bounces, I try then to hit it again. And this trick has really gotten my accuracy up, and it's something that's a little bit different than that people aren't doing at the range. I also was I did the math. I looked up how much bullets cost while I was listening to your show, and I did the math, and I thought it was going to be 50 cents to a dollar per bullet. So when you said a 1,000-round trigger job, I thought you were talking $1,000. And I found out that's not the case. If you reload, it's quite cheap. But also, if you buy bulk ammo, it cost me about $200 to get 1,000 rounds of 9mm. So it was decent ammo. And so I didn't realize you could do it so cheap. Maybe other people also think that it's $1,000 to do a 1,000-round trigger job. Not the case. The only other thing I just wanted to let you know is that Smith & Wesson Shield 9mm is loud. For a little gun, my goodness. I went and took one shot outdoors with no hearing protection, like you said, and I was deaf for the next 2 days. I highly do not recommend that to anybody. It is so loud. I did not expect that from a little gun. And I do find some of the bigger gun platforms, the full platforms, are a bit quieter or just a more muffled noise. I guess the shield is so small they didn't have enough room to mess with the sound dynamics. Anyway, that's a 1,000-round trigger job for the first time I've ever done it on my first guns. It was an enjoyable experience. The gun is clean and working very well, and I'm confident with it now. So thank you for that recommendation. It's a great gun, the Shield, and I look forward to my next gun purchase. See you, Bob.
Wow, Andrew, thank you. You know, I've talked about the 1,000-round trigger job on this show for years, and I don't think that I've ever explained it as well as Andrew from formerly Australia, now Arizona, has explained it. That was terrific, Andrew. Thank you. You laid it out there. This is why you got to give every gun that you are at least going to seriously carry and use for self-defense. That's why you got to give them a 1,000-round trigger drop. Even if you're going to use these guns for competition, you know, it won't take you very many competition matches to give it a 1,000-round trigger job. All things happen. Not only do you get used to the trigger, you get used to the gun. You know where your point of aim, point of impact is. You know where your sights hit. You know how the grip works for you, how the trigger works for you, how to manipulate the gun, all that. Hey, all you got to do is come to a couple of good classes. Come to a Suarez International class. Come to something Ben and I teach. You're going to get a 1,000-round trigger job done pretty quick. You probably get to half of it through one of our classes or more. You know, take one of John Payne's Suarez International classes. He'll probably run you up to 700 or 800 rounds. Come take one of our two-day classes that Ben and I teach. We'll run you up to 700 or 800 rounds. Come to one of the Suarez International classes I teach in 2 days. I'll run you up there quite a bit. So there's a lot of things. This is why if you're going to depend on these instruments for self-protection. And by the way, the Bible in Luke chapter 22, I believe it says. In Luke chapter 22, I believe that Jesus told his disciples to go out and defend themselves. Get a sword if they didn't have one. Sell their cloak if they didn't have one, and buy a sword. And to the best of my knowledge, maybe some of you pastors can help me, but I don't think that the Bible expressly prohibits the carrying of weapons for self-defense. Not murder, but self-defense, I believe, is okay. So anyway, Andrew, wow. Andrew from formerly Australia, Arizona. First of all, welcome to America. Appreciate that. What a great synopsis of the 1,000-round trigger job. You guys might want to rewind this and listen to that again, because he's got some excellent insights into this one. Okay, let's go to a guy named Team Prepper, who listens to a lot of my Today's Survival Show. If you want to get more information, more prepared in your preparedness and survival lifestyle as well, I do a secondary show. I don't do it quite as often anymore because I don't have the energy, the emotional energy, physical energy, and I got a lot of things going on right now to try to save my life, so I can't do 2 podcasts, and of course, got to take care of my family and all that other kind of stuff, and of course, mainly take care of myself. But Teen has a gun question, and he also, like I said, he listens to Today's Survival Show. I've done almost 250 episodes over there on getting prepared if you'd like to listen to that. All right, so let's listen to Teen Prepper.
Hey, Bob, it is a Teen Prepper from the Today Survival Forums, but I have a question for the gun show. I am about to get my first handgun. I already have a shotgun and a rifle, so I have that taken care of. Since I live in California and I can't get my hands on full cap magazines, I was wondering if there was a serious difference between buying a 1911 or something like a Glock. I was looking at my local gun store, and they have a Rock River Armory 1911 that's in my price range, and I was wondering what you thought about that. Also, I know that you're coming to California, so I was wondering what you thought about the law for having the 10-day wait going away. What do you thought about that? Anyway, see ya. Bye.
Well, Teen Prepper, good to hear from you. Heard from you on the other show, and now I'm hearing from you on this show. Okay, a couple things I want to address. You know, I've never hated 1911s. Maybe I started that. Maybe somebody else started it. I've never hated it. 1911s are fine pistols. If you can run one, if you can keep it running, if you know how to work on it, you're going to pay attention to it, you're going to marry the platform, like I said a few weeks ago, 1911s are fine. You know, I've got 1911s, so, hey, they're fine. Rock River, I don't know much about, Teen. I got to be honest. I don't know much about the Rock River 1911s. You know, here's what I say about 1911s. If you're okay with the limited round capacity and the weight, fine. Carry one to your heart's content. You might want to look into something like an XD, XDM, M&P, Glock. You might want to look into one of the modern service pistols, Sig Sauer. You might want to look into one of the service pistols, even if you're limited to 10 rounds. There's some good if you love 45 ACP, there's some good 10-round 45. I mean, if you're going to be limited to 10-round magazines, there's still some good 45 ACP pistols out there. XDs make good ones. M&Ps make good ones. You know, Glock makes decent ones. They're a little thick. But, you know, there's XD. I mentioned Springfield. There's a lot of good manufacturers on 45 caliber. So if you're sold on that round team, get one of those. You know, if I was limited to 10 rounds, I still would love my Glock 19 or my M&P 9 compact. So there's nothing wrong with them. I mean, well-placed shots with 9s, 40s, 357s, in my opinion, just as effective, ballistically, very little different than the 1911. Now, if the Rock River's in your price range, get the Rock River 1911. You'll find that the price between a Rock River 1911 and probably something like an XD45 or an MAP45, like, again, if you're sold on that round, there's not much difference. So check on that. Now, I don't know what's on your California approved list. You got to check that out. You probably know that. As far as the waiting period, I hate those. I hate those. Consider this. What if you got a woman, for example, who's being physically threatened on a daily basis, and she has to wait a while to get some protection? What does that tell her? What does that tell her? That she's not worthy? Because some politician, or group of politicians that passed the law know better? So that's what I think of that waiting list team. Those are my thoughts. By the way, the California class, which is October 18th, he mentioned that in the voicemail. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. Couple of reasons. Number one, pretty low turnout. Just about, I think, 5 people signed up so far. And my health. My health is the main thing. I don't mind coming out for a low number of students, but, you know, October 18th is only a little over a month away. No, actually, yeah, it is a little bit over a month away, and I have no idea what I'm going to be doing trying to fight for my life on Saturday, October 18th. I think Scott is going to work something out with the people who are signed up. Scott Sylvester from One Weapon, Any Tool. If he does not, I promise you, you will get a full refund from me, and I apologize. That class, I'm not going to be able to make it. Ben is going to go up to Dallas and teach that class by himself, Pistol Fighting Dynamics, Art of Making the First Hit, in November. I have to fulfill a promise because I got sick and I was in the hospital. I couldn't take my son up to Wisconsin for a football game, and I couldn't go to my 35th high school reunion that I helped plan because I was under doctor's orders not to go anywhere. So I am going to make a huge effort that same weekend, which I believe is on the 8th and 9th, to take my son up to Wisconsin, go to a Green Bay Packer football game, because they are, after all, the 13-time NFL world champions, more championships than anybody else. Got to say that. 4-time Super Bowl champions. They are the real America's team. In fact, I'm going to watch them as soon as I get done dictating this podcast. And I know I rubbed some of you the wrong way. Too bad. Anyway, it's kind of a yearly tradition now. My son and I have started taking him up there, so that's what I'm going to try to do. So Ben is going to go up to Dallas. I will be at the Houston class, probably about 85-90% sure. I'll be at the Houston class September 27th. Don't know how much I'm going to be able to do, but I'll be able to meet, at least be there, shoot some rounds with everybody. We got a third safety officer and training officer coming in. So between myself, Ben Branham, and one of his buddies, it's going to be a dynamic class on September 27th. And as a matter of fact, here comes a little bit of information about another upcoming class that we have coming up.
An exciting training opportunity is coming to Sioux Falls on May 16th and 17th, 2015, Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced. This 16-hour course is designed for the concealed carrier who is slightly more advanced but has never had any formal training outside of the CCW course. We start with the basics of handgun safety and marksmanship and quickly progress to some basic dynamic movement and defensive scenarios. Some scenarios would include shooting from cover and proper use of cover, shooting on the move, shooting steel on the move, defending hallways, one-handed shooting, the art of making hits quickly out of the holster, shooting a hostage taker, and more. You will shoot a minimum of 500 rounds of ammunition. Bring a quality handgun with at least 3 magazines, holster, belt, and magazine pouches. Revolvers and .22 caliber pistols are welcome. Both Bob and Ben are NRA certified pistol instructors and have been for several years. Bob has been the host of the Handgun World podcast for 4 years and has over 120 hours of training under his belt. Ben has several years of Marine combat experience and several years of carrying a gun as an armored car driver. This class will be held in Sioux Falls, May 16th and 17th, 2015, from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. both days. Cost is $350 per person, or sign up by December 31st and save $50. Look for the training link at handgunworld.com.
Okay, and by the way, that equipment list applies to, you know, most classes that you teach. You know, that says 3 magazines, but I think 5 to 7 magazines for whatever pistol that you're going to use is appropriate. A lot of you have been asking me what range that's going to be held on. Go ahead and take a look at that on the website at handgunworld.com. Click on Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's going to be in Del Rapids, South Dakota, so check that out. Paul Lathrop got back to me. I talked to Paul, by the way, and he's doing pretty good. I am going to get on his show one of these days, hopefully, to talk a little bit more about the class. And by the way, if you like to support what Ben and I do, just go to the Shooters Club website. You can go to shootersclubmembers.com. That's shootersclubmembers.com. Or you can go to handgunworld.com and click the Shooters Club link. And that'll get you there too. $75 a year, $8 a month. It'll get you access to, private, only to members, only videos that we put out there. I got about 17 videos list. Well, I got descriptions of 17 videos, but there's probably 24, 25 total up there right now. There's a sign-up link on my website to sign up for the Shooters Club and also on shootersclubmembers.com. Check Facebook because every time we put a new video up, I put a post on Facebook. By the way, if you want to link or sign up for updates by email, you can do that. Just enter your email address and click subscribe. And you'll be able to get an email update from me every time there's a change on the page or a podcast posted or whatever. And right below that is the voicemail link. So if you can't remember the number of 210-646-1727, that's 210-646-1727. If you can't remember that, go to the voicemail box and click the Call Me button at my website, and that'll link you up with my voicemail using your cell phone. Okay, I got another voicemail here that I want you to listen to coming from Jeff in Washington State.
Hey, Bob, Jeff here from Washington State. Thank you once again for the great Beyond Concealed Carry training that you had up here. It was fantastic to meet Al and Glenn from 299 Days. On that note, I'm sure you've already thought about this, but have an idea for an upcoming show. You're almost up to your 299th day show, and why not do another show on 299 days? Anyway, it's always a pleasure to hear Glenn talk about his books, and now that I've met him, it puts it even more into perspective. So with that, wish you good health, and thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that. Jeff came to our Beyond Concealed Carry class up in Squim in the Seattle area with Glenn Tate and Powell from the 299 Days book series, and Ben Branham and I were the primary instructors for that class. Hey, Jeff, if I make it to 299 episodes, I will bring Glenn Tate on for the 299th episode of the Handgun World podcast. Great suggestion. No problem with that. Jeff's a pretty good shooter, too. And I was very impressed. We were very impressed with most of the students that came to that class. As a matter of fact, that probably was one of the most fun classes that Ben and I have ever taught. And, you know, I talk a lot about supporting this show. And I know for some of you, funds are limited, and I'm a big believer in being a good steward of your funds. I didn't used to be, but I am now. So, if you don't have any extra funds, but you're going to buy something. Let's say you're going to buy something and it's available on Amazon. All you have to do is go to handgunworld.com, click the Amazon store. That'll give you a direct access to my Handgun World Amazon store link. And if you make your purchases through my store, you can save that page, bookmark it, whatever. And if you make your purchases through my store, I will get a little fee from Amazon. And that's a way you can support this show by not having to spend any extra money at all. So I don't have to be, you know, asking you to pony up anything or whatever. Okay? A lot of you have been doing that. You've been helping out a lot, and that's great. Thank you very much. And it's well appreciated. Kind of a little fundraiser for the efforts and everything that I'm going through, too. And I think that makes a big difference. Big difference for me and a big difference for those of you supporting the show. So, here's what I want to conclude with. Again, this is episode 295. I really don't know what the future holds for me. I am going to treat this as being my last show for a while. I don't think it's going to be my last show ever. You never know. I don't know what the good Lord has in store for me, has in store for you. None of us really know exactly what he has in store. We are all trained, if we're believers, to understand that this is part of God's plan. But I can tell you this. It's probably going to be the last one for a while, depending on what kind of further treatments and analysis and tests that I have to go through. So this is episode number 295. Jeff, I plan on doing 299 and getting this at least all the way up to 300. Hopefully beyond, Lord willing. But I will say this. You guys need to, if you're behind, get caught up. Get caught up all the way up to 295. There's plenty of good episodes. Go over to todayssurvival.com. I actually started that podcast first. And if you want to improve your prepping life, I can't say that I've anywhere near prepped the way I want to prep. I shared a lot of information on that show with a lot of you that I haven't even been able to accomplish. I've been trying to motivate you to accomplish it, and also myself. You know, one of the reasons I say I do both of these podcasts is so I can learn from it too, and I can grow from it too. And one of the best ways to grow from something is have to present it to people. So over there at Today's Survival Show, there's a lot of good information. Todayssurvival.com. You can also subscribe to that on iTunes, on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or any of your podcast feeds. That's Todayssurvival.com. There's two S's in that. Handgunworld.com. You all are familiar with. You subscribe to this show. Get caught up. Get caught up. There's a lot of good information out there. Keep the voicemails and emails of encouragement and everything coming, and the Facebook messages coming, because even on this show, I've motivated you and trained you and tried to impart a lot of things to you that even I haven't done, that I have to get with as soon as my health improves and improve on this kind of stuff. Because, you know, self-defense, I believe, is a right that we have. It's not a right granted to us by our competition or by our Constitution, but it is protected, at least in the United States, for United States citizens, by our Constitution. You have to take it seriously. You also need to be prepared, because I think more and more, more now than ever, people need to prepare for themselves rather than trust and rely on especially government sources and even outside sources to take care of you and your family. So this is just not all about guns, people. It's also about being prepared. So listen to both of my shows. Let me know what you think. Give me some feedback. Keep everything coming. And one last thing, if you need to email me, it's bob@handgunworld.com or bob@todayssurvival.com. Thank you very much, folks. Good luck to you. I will be back. Don't know when, so treat this as the last one for a while. For all of you who I've met, it's been a pleasure. For all of you who I have not met, it's still been a pleasure. For all of you who I have yet to meet, it's going to be a pleasure. God bless. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And this has been another episode of the Handgun World podcast. Shoot straight, shoot safe, and remember, the loudest sound that a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Goodbye.